coming up on this week's episode of News of the Week for episode 297 of the YLP podcast. It is Friday, and you know exactly what that means. We're in a damn snowstorm. Get a fucking game in the Northeast. That's what's exactly what that means. Terrible. Mother, who pissed off Mother Nature? I just want to know who pissed off Mother Nature to have two snowstorms in the span of like 3 weeks. Whose idea was that to piss off Mother Nature? I want to know. I love snow, don't get me wrong, but this winter, I want to stop. I can get past it. I'm completely done with it. But I digress, because you're not here for me talking shit about the weather. You're here for me to talk about all the news that's fit for me to talk about. And what am I going to be talking about this week? Well, I got news from WrestlingInc.com, an update on WWE's violations for third-party social media mentions. I believe we discussed that a while back. And apparently, there's more to the nonsense. We'll be discussing that in this week's episode. Also, a top star will be involved in New Japan's partnerships with AEW and Impact Wrestling. Who is that top star? We're going to talk about that this week as well. As well as Sammy Guevara. Apparently, he was reportedly pulled from Impact tapings over creative issues. Maybe we'll find out exactly what those creative issues were. We'll find out. Who knows? It could be some nonsense. Could be some very serious things. Who knows? Who knows? We'll discuss that and more for episode 297 of the YLP podcast. And with that being said, let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. Let us begin.
Greetings, everybody. This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager here at WrestleLytic Radio and your host of Kings of the Rings podcast. But right now, right here and right now, you are listening to the Stephen A. Smith of WrestleLytic Radio, the unapologetically poignant, vibrant, and ferocious young Lions Perspective, hosted by my man, Zachary Rozica. Enjoy the show.
Self-defense, all that good stuff. Not making sure you take care of yourselves during this crazy okay? Just putting it out there. But let me get back into the swing of things. If you have any thoughts, comments, concerns, anything at all about today's episode, any news I may have missed, anything at all, do not hesitate to hit me up with an email over at younglinesperspective@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice message over at anchor.fm/younglinesperspective, anchor.fm/wrestleaddictradio. Leave a comment over on ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com if you feel so inclined to. As well, you can throw your boy a couple shekels this away, and I thank you in advance. Also, leave comments and ratings, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast. You feel me? Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and anywhere else you can listen to the YLP Podcast. Ah, yes. News of the week. We are back at it. 297. Again, I hope you guys are having a great day. But yeah, we got a good amount of news. I found a little something, something. I finished up a little early. You know, I know I did live tweet on Wednesday. I had a little thing with future Mrs. YLP. You know, with COVID times going on and shit, you know, sometimes we are away from each other. And so we did, you know, we had a little virtual chat, and I'm gonna leave it at that. You dig? Again, that's not why you are here. You are here to check out the news of the week. And I have, of course, a good amount of news. And of course, we're going to be kicking this off with an update on WWE's violations for third-party social media mentions from WrestlingInc.com from my favorite professional wrestling writer in the game right now, Mr. Mark Middleton. Let's get started. WWE has confirmed that talents are banned from monetizing their Twitter and Instagram accounts by working with third parties. Wrestling Inc. exclusively reported on Monday that WWE was issuing violations to talent for tweets or Instagram posts that named any third-party business, person, brand, or charity. The violations began with a warning, then a fine, and finally a talent suspension. WWE is claiming ownership of talent, Twitter, and Instagram accounts via a clause in their contracts that gives WWE the exclusive use of their likeness. It was made clear to talents who have complained about the policy that the current flexibility, in quotation marks, allowed in social media could be retracted by the company. Our report was discussed in the latest edition of Wrestling Observer Radio. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez gave an example of talent taking casual photos in front of a car or restaurant, stating those would be punishable offenses if those brands were mentioned in the post. In an update, WWE has clarified the policy for F4WOnline.com and stated that those would not be punishable offenses unless the talent was making money from promoting those brands. WWE stated that the new policy is no different from the recent policy on third-party content through platforms such as Cameo and Twitch. For several months now, WWE has not allowed talent to create unauthorized content through third-party providers like Cameo and Twitch, but the ban had not specifically included Twitter and Instagram posts. Until now, WWE is going on the guise that the contractual ownership of the likeness of their performers includes all social media accounts, regardless of whether the accounts use the stage names or the real names of the talent. This latest policy means WWE talents are potentially missing out on significant earnings. As noted before, a recent LoveUX study estimated that Lana earned $625,922 from 59 sponsored posts in 2020, equaling $10,608 per post, by the way, while Mandy Rose earned an estimated $490,104 from 71 sponsored posts in 2020, an average of $6,902 per post. Why are you taking their money away, Mr. McMahon? I ask you this again. Why are you fucking with their money, Mr. McMahon? Why are you literally fucking with people's money? There's few things I value in life. My family. My money. My dog. The unofficial co-host of the YLP podcast, Miss Marley. my squadron, my people, my very good friends that I've known for almost 20 years. All y'all know who y'all are. My people. Love y'all. Y'all, the listeners. Future Mrs. YLP, of course. She cute. She knows she cute. She act like she don't know she cute. She cute. But notice how in the top three, my money. You can fuck with people all the time if you want to. I do it at work all the time with new people. It's fun. Oh my God, that's so mean. No. This is how we break new people in. We give you nicknames and we make you find bay extenders. broke the fourth wall. Deal with it. But you're fucking with people's money. And that's what it literally comes down to. Not only are you fucking with people's money, and by people, I mean the talent of WWE, you're also fucking with the chances of actually being able to do something cool for charities, right? You know, Dakota Kai, I think, did charities. I think AJ Styles did one for charities. Zelina Vega, before she got the axe, was doing a charity stream. I think Mia Yim did one. Shayna Baszler has done one. Multiples. They got all got Twitch. And they use their likeness and their, you know, platform to play video games and talk to their fans and whatever and actually donate to actual charities. You've seen plenty of streams do this. New Legacy Inc. does it. Dink Ops, Pulse. I think Tim the Tatman has done some. Ninja, I know, has done some. Valkyrie. Quarter Jade. Gold Gloves. Femstev. Vern Notice. Those are some of my favorite ones, so love y'all. Y'all cool. You know, they do streams. But apparently in the WWE realm, you can't do that. Violations to talent for tweets or Instagram posts that named any third-party business, person, brand, or charity. Even charities? You're claiming ownership of talent Twitter and Instagram accounts? Only one question I have for the talent. Where was your lawyer for this? You're fucking with people's likenesses. You're fucking with their money. Ain't nothing wrong with having a side hustle. Side hustle. Side hustle. Jesus. Side hustle, my apologies. Words are hard today, as always. But you're fucking with people's money. Mainly your talent's money. Like, they do this stuff for charity. You know, they're donating to charities and causes they care about. I'm pretty sure when they do WWE Divas back in the day did Playboy, they got paid. Huh? We're just gonna discount that. When, you know, John Cena and The Rock do movies or whoever does movies, they getting paid for that, right? You know, they go in the movie, they act, they do their thing, and they get a check. But you can't be as a talent sponsored by a brand a company? You know, even if it's for, like, protein or some shit, you can't even be involved. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of bullshit is that? You mean to tell me that if I was a WWE talent and I was doing shit on Cameo, you know, making a little extra side money, you know, if I was doing Twitch streams to donate for certain causes or whatever, maybe the Red Cross or something like that, you know, especially with the shit going on in Texas and Louisiana. You mean to tell me I can't do that? I am in violation of your social media shit. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. That is a damn shame. You had motherfuckers doing Chef Boyardee commercials back in the day. Mankind, Big Show, Rock did some. But now, all of a sudden, we can't have that. We can't have any of that. That's fucking adorable. That's so fucking petty. Wouldn't you want that, though? Wouldn't you want your talent to have that kind of exposure? Don't be a bully, Vince. Be a star. It's a damn shame. It really is. You know, like what are we doing here? Have we gotten this petty? Have we gotten so petty to the point where people actually can't do anything besides pretty much, you know, just do your thing in the ring? So what are you saying? Randy Orton can't, you know, like Randy Orton's got a brand line now. He can't use that on his Instagram and Twitter? Huh? What if it's a product that, you know, somebody did? They can't sponsor that now. Even if it's their shit. Even if it's their product, they cannot use it because they're going to be getting paid off it. It's technically a sponsored thing. And now you're including your Twitter and Instagram. It's so disappointing. It is so disheartening to see that, you know, you just doing this. Oh my God. Like, people were making good money off that. You know, I mean, if some of them probably weren't getting booked on shows, still collecting a check, they can get themselves a little bit of exposure outside of that. Oh, wait, I forgot. It's not organic when Vince does it. Oh, no, my bad. It's organic when Vince does it. When the corporate guys do it. It's the Zack Ryder theory all over again. Dude got hot on his own. Using the internet, using YouTube and all that. Got hot. Then what happened? Vince McMahon ate that shit up and spit that shit out. Because again, it's only organic when Vince and his squad do it. And now they're getting stupid, more stupid. Didn't Robert Downey Jr. say in Tropic Thunder, you never go full retard? I'm just quoting the line. Don't get offended over here. I'm just quoting the line. But he said that, did he not? And that's what happens. Or should I say, that's what's going on with this. They went full retard. And now it's just like, okay, so you don't want them to have the exposure. I mean, because honestly, I'm not really seeing a legitimate reason why. So take selfie in front of Whip, but don't promote it. It's fine. Promote it. Nah, you good. That's weird. That's just mad weird. There's been countless times that people have been sponsored by stuff. Ico Pro. Seriously? Honestly, for the talent, again, I go back to the question I said a few minutes ago. Where was your lawyer? Where was your lawyer? I wouldn't have signed it. You ain't taking my likeness away. Not at all, Pippin. That's no. Current flexibility allowed in social media could be retracted by the company. So, like, they complained about this and you still went through with it anyway. That's bad employer. That's bad employment. If we're being truthfully honest about it, you're not allowing them to have exposure outside of what you run. That is beyond my train of thought and well above my pay grade to try to even have a rational thought on how this makes any sense. Help me help you. Help make this make sense. Anybody, please. Because I would love to know. Think about it like this. You were making commission at your job, along with your salary, right? You were selling some, something that's high commission. You're selling insurance. I don't know why I thought about that. But you're selling insurance, you get your salary, but every, like, you know, insurance sale you make, you get a little something extra. You know, that goes to your paycheck. And all of a sudden, they said, you know, we're going to stop giving you guys commission on this stuff. How would you feel? You'd be a little bit pissed off, wouldn't you? Why? They're fucking with your money. Nobody wants their money to be fucked with. And from what I mean, Lana and Mandy Rose are making solid coin off it. Now all of a sudden they're pretty much persona non grata to everyone in the outside world in terms of sponsorships and branding. Even if they know they're a solid fit for it, they can't be sponsored by anyone. That doesn't even make me sick. It just makes me shake my head in disgust. Can't even make money off their own social media. Goddamn boomers ruining every damn thing in sight. All because they aren't getting their exposure organically from Vince McMahon. That's a damn shame. That is just cold-blooded. Let that be known. That shit is cold-blooded. Oh, bitch better have my money? Nah. You ain't getting no money. Only the money we paying you. Can't do no cameo. Can't do no Twitch streams. None of that. You want to get exposure? You're doing when you're in the ring over here doing shows and whatnot. That's your exposure. That if I'm them, I would have complained too. That's fucking infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. And who knows what they could do next. They've already got the cameo and Twitch shit shut down. Now they can't even monetize their own Twitter and Instagram. It's crazy, y'all. It is absolutely crazy. And I mean, this is what goes on now. You know, this is the shit. And this one bit right here. WWE going on the guise that the contractual ownership of the likeness of their performers includes all social media accounts, regardless of whether the accounts and use the stage names or the real names of the talent. Regardless of whether the accounts use the stage names or the real names of the talent, they own that. Cold-blooded shit, y'all. Cold-blooded shit. And that is insane. That's just, to me, it's just insane. I don't know how you feel about it. You can let me know. But give people more of a reason once their contract ends to want to leave the company. Give them more of a reason. But I'm going to leave that right there. But when we come back on episode 297 of the YLP podcast. Y'all know I got more news. I got more news. News on Sammy Guevara reportedly pulled from Impact tapings over creative issues. I'm really interested to see what they talk about over on this. I also have news from Cultaholic.com. Apparently, and this should be no surprise to anyone, Vince McMahon does not see anything for Aleister Black and Andrade in WWE. I got a lot of words said. With Vince McMahon apparently not seeing anything in either of these two men, what I believe are solid talents, and it could be a great help to a Raw or SmackDown. And we're going to be talking about, even though they're just, you know, being petty as shit, they are still on a signing spree. And I got a new news from Blake Ostreicher on Forbes. talking about the signing spree of WWE won't benefit the company long term. It's going to be a bit long of an article, but we're going to get through it on the other side of episode 297 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What is up, peeps? This is Mr. Fretz here to tell you about my podcast, Fretzelmania, every Saturday on the Wrestle Addict radio feed, where I review the best and worst in modern and retro pro wrestling. So join me as I keep wrestling real right here on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 297 of the YLB podcast. And of course, you're listening to News of the Week. And let's get back into the news of the week, shall we? From ProWrestling.com, Sammy Guevara reportedly pulled from Impact tapings over creative issues. According to a report by Slam Wrestling, Sammy Guevara has been pulled from Impact Wrestling taping over creative issues. Impact and AEW have been working together for a while now, and Sammy Guevara was reportedly set to be the next wrestler to head to Impact. However, that is no longer happening due to creative issues. The report states that Chris Jericho came up with the idea of Sammy heading to the promotion after walking away from the Inner Circle, and Tony Khan agreed to that. However, Guevara reportedly voiced complaints about the creative direction, and things escalated to the point of Jericho telling Sammy to return home, as he had to then contact Don Callis about the situation. It's currently unknown what the exact issue was that Guevara had, but he was not involved in the tapings. According to a report, AEW management is concerned that this could have negatively impacted the working relationship that AEW and Impact has. However, Fightful has spoken to both sides involved and revealed it's nothing that can't be overcome. While Guevara might not be having an Impact, it has been confirmed that New Japan stars Juice Robinson and David Finlay debuting for the company this past week, and that they did on this past Tuesday's episode of Impact. I did not watch, but I did see the news already on that, so I was like, oh, all right, and I actually like the move. Now, as far as Sammy Guevara goes, we may not know ever what the issue was with the creative issues. If it's nothing that can't be overcome, then that's perfectly fine. But especially with what they have going on in the beginnings of their working relationship together. In terms of this, I don't think it will be, as impactful as everybody thinks it's probably going to be. Like the article said, if it's nothing that can't be overcome, then it should be able to be taken care of. Although I am quite curious to see exactly what was the issue at hand. Who knows what it could have been. Maybe it could have been, X Division type shit. It could have been just a certain angle they were trying to do, and Guevara was just not feeling it, which is understandable, especially if it doesn't pan out the way you want it to. Some people will feel some type of way about that. I mean, the fact that it got crazy to the point where Jericho had to tell Sammy to go home, that was a little interesting, especially, dude brought you into the situation, but I understand, both sides, especially for Sammy, if it's not the way, it's going to go down, of course you're going to feel some type of way about it, right? You're going to feel some type of way about the whole situation and how you feel about it, and again, we may not know exactly whatever it may be. Seeing Robinson and Finley in Impact, though, I want to speak on that for a moment, is a pretty solid deal.
Given the fact that their tag team division is starting to grow a little bit. Again, I don't really watch Impact as much, so I don't really know their tag team scene very well. I know the Good Brothers are tag team champions. Private Party had a title match against them. Now it's Finn Juice. Could, you know, Sabin and Storm. You know, hopefully Santana and Ortiz go over there one day. That'd be some cool. That'd be a cool deal right there if they were able to do that. Get the Hybrid 2 over there. Get the lower rung tag team some experience in Impact Wrestling. That would be actual legitimate kick ass shit. You know, especially with everything they got going on within the relationship. And I'll be talking about more about that in the next segment of this episode. Hopefully they resolve the issues. Because this is definitely something that I'm sure AEW and Impact want to go over very well. And we as fans also, and podcasters like myself, want to see this well done as well. For the simple fact that I've been wanting to see this for years. And now we're here and we just don't want to see them fuck it up. That's my biggest concern. I don't want to see them really fuck this shit up. Because the last thing we need is to see something what I consider to be minuscule to begin a rift between AEW and Impact. I think it's a non-factor. I mean, it happens. There's going to be creative issues. It happens a lot more than you think. And sometimes it be like that. So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully Sammy Guevara does head over to Impact one of these days. It would be really nice to see him there. As I've been saying, for the X Division Championship, I think he would absolutely be a killer in that title scene, especially with, I believe, Josh Alexander as the current X Division champion. I would like to see that go down. Him versus Chris Bay. Him versus TJP. Rohit Raju. That'd be some fire shit. It'd be something that really, I really want to see. We'll see what happens with it. I know he's got the storyline over in AEW with the Inner Circle thing, so we'll see how that goes in the weeks and months ahead. But let us head over to Cultaholic.com. Vince McMahon does not see anything for Aleister Black and Andrade in WWE. This is from Mitch Wadden. Vince McMahon reportedly does not see anything in former NXT champions Aleister Black and Andrade. Neither Black or Andrade have been seen on WWE television since October of last year. Andrade's last outing came in a losing effort to former teammate Angel Garza, while Black has not been utilized since being drafted to Friday Night SmackDown in the 2020 draft. Both Black and Andrade... excuse me. That was weird. I'm sorry. Both Black and Andrade were two superstars that former Raw executive producer Paul Heyman was reportedly keen on building the brand around, but neither has been featured highly since his departure from the role in June of last year. And according to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, WWE Chairman McMahon simply does not see anything in either superstar. When asked about Paul Heyman's influence in WWE in regards to helping give superstars opportunities, Meltzer said, quote, he doesn't have that kind of power right now. If he had power, yeah, I could see it, but he does not have that power. And Vince does not see anything in Aleister Black or Andrade, or any of those guys that when Heyman lost his position. The only one that ended up not being completely fucked was Shayna, because I guess they liked the idea of Shayna and Nia Jax, so she got brought back. But pretty much everybody else, they're with Bo Dallas in catering, end quote. Meltzer will go on to add the WWE creative genuinely has nothing for Bo Dallas at the moment, hence why he has not been used on television either. He added, quote, he's there. And you know how they say creative has nothing for him? In his case, that's actually true. Usually when people say that, it's something else. He goes on to say, I don't know why he's never been cut. They never use him. But they didn't cut him and they cut all of those guys that they cut in April. He's still there. Still got a job. No idea what or why or anything. Big mystery, end quote. And of course, H/T from WrestleTalk. I have been saying this time and time again for months. Aleister Black is personally one of my favorites that came out of NXT when he came up to the main roster. Tommy End. was a big deal in NXT. Coming up to the main roster, there was high hopes for him. But of course, there were a few of us who still felt that something wrong could happen with Aleister Black. And we were exactly right. And they could have had so many opportunities for this man on Raw. It's unfortunate that, you know, Paul Heyman got let go as executive director or executive producer. And he was going to be one that Heyman was going to build around. And now he doesn't have that opportunity. I mean, especially with Zelina Vega getting released after what she had said on Twitter, which I thought was absolutely insanity for doing that. Not on her end, but theirs. And now they have nothing for him. Nothing. The one thing when he went over to Raw was the only thing, one thing I really wanted to see was him versus Bray Wyatt. That had dream match written all over it. The dark macabre side of Aleister Black paired up against Bray Wyatt, the Fiend? Tell me that wouldn't have been an awesome kick-ass feud. That would have been an amazing feud to watch. And that's what I've been saying. Vince, you know, Triple H creates, Vince McMahon destroys. It's sad. And here's when it makes it even worse. More so for Andrade. Let's think about that for a moment, right? Hell of a talent. La Sombra. Coming out of New Japan, CMLL, fanfare. Comes into NXT. Takes him a minute to get his shit straight. You know, he was a Chippendales dude. You know, coming out with suspenders. With the pants. You know, with the fedora cap. And there was, they were, they were trying to get something going. And then out, and then in comes Zelina Vega. You know, helps steer him on the right path. Get his mind right. Becomes NXT champion out of fucking nowhere. Drew McIntyre injured his bicep during the match. That's why they actually had to go home with it. Had a solid run with the NXT Championship. I believe lost it to Aleister Black. Eventually, for the title. And Andrade. You know, the husband of Charlotte Flair. The man who has been working on his English. Because he wanted to actually, you know, be a big deal into WWE. Man goes out of his way to learn the English language. And all of a sudden, you don't have or don't see anything in Andrade. How? Just how? He is one hell of a heel that you need in the WWE. I'm not saying he's world champion material, but he's definite upper mid-card material, gunning for mid-card titles. He could have been a Money in the Bank winner back in May. Could have been a Money in the Bank winner. And seeing him hold the WWE Championship would have been interesting. Could have become a made man. But you don't see anything in him now. After everything he has done to try to literally convince you that he should be involved on Raw, you don't see anything in the man. After everything he has done to impress you and try to let you know, like, hey, I'm willing to do this if it means, you know, getting some work in and being able to, you know, get higher up the card. He did all of that, and Vince McMahon sees nothing in him. That That is disrespectful. And he's two. They're two of a few. You know. You already know the names. I just find it quite sad that when you have two talents, the likes of Aleister Black and Andrade, and somehow, some way, in your infinite fucking wisdom, you do not see a sliver of anything in them. A sliver. A morsel. A smidge of talent. You see nothing. Nothing. In either of them. I could easily put Black in the Intercontinental title picture. Imagine a feud with Big E and Aleister Black right the fuck now. If anything, this is the perfect time because you got the whole Thunderdome during a pandemic, all of this. This would have been a perfect time to do it. This would have been a perfect time to make Aleister Black into something. Be an X Factor in your mid-card. That goes for Raw and SmackDown. And that goes for both of them as well. Both men could be a big deal on the mid-card scene on Raw and SmackDown, respectively. And it pisses me off more with Andrade. It really does. It pisses me off more with Andrade with the fact that, you know, he's done all this work, and nothing comes out of it now. And you have nothing for them, and you see nothing in them. Then you let them go, if you so-called see nothing in them. And let them go somewhere where a company sees something in them. Sad. It's quite fucking sad. And it doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better. I mean, yes, we found out this week, I believe Tuesday or Wednesday, they had a ton of signings. A ton of signings. From what I read, over 24, to be exact. And we head over to Forbes.com. WWE signing spree won't benefit the company long term. From Blake Ostreicher. Bit of a read, but we'll see how we do. WWE continues to raid pro wrestling's independent scene. According to Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, the company recently signed more than 20 talents, many of them high-profile indie stars, as part of a surprising signing spree on new stars. Quote, they got Blake Christian signed, Taya Valkyrie, Harem Bravado. They have like 24 people signed. They're on a signing spree, end quote. During the same week, the WWE informed non-wrestling employees that they wouldn't be receiving bonuses, raises, or promotions in the near future. The world's premier pro wrestling promotion inked several independent wrestling stalwarts to NXT deals. Among the major names who are headed to WWE's developmental slash third brand are former Impact Wrestling stars Eli Drake, now known as LA Knight, as we found out from NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day, and Taya Valkyrie, Christian Casanova, and the aforementioned Christian and Bravado. WWE's sudden spending spree on superstars comes as a shock, given that the company seemed to have cut back significantly on signing new talent over the course of the past year in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and had recently grown concerned about its stock price following the release of its 2020 earnings report and 2021 projections. Oh, fucking were you! The financial impact of WWE signing so many indie talents is minimal. However, especially given that most of those talents are being paid in the $50,000 to $60,000 range, with many of the bigger names making far less than you'd expect as well, the long-term impact of WWE raiding the indies, though, is far greater. WWE's recent rash of signings, of course, is the latest dagger in the heart of the independent pro wrestling scene. With the growth of AEW, NXT's overloaded roster, and the presence of NXT UK, independent wrestling simply isn't what it used to be, even in comparison to just a couple of years ago. Most of the world's top indie talent is quickly being scooped up, typically by WWE, whether that be the likes of NXT UK's Ben Carter or recent NXT signees MSK, and the ripple effects are starting to show. As the wealth of top indie stars begins to thin out, WWE's issues with an already overcrowded roster are bound to worsen. If you look at Raw and SmackDown alone, you'll see a plethora of former independent studs, ranging from Ricochet to Aleister Black to Cedric Alexander, who are either lost in the shuffle or have recently struggled to make headway on the main roster at some point. That trend has held true for former NXT standouts for several years, but now we're also seeing NXT reach a point where its roster is so jam-packed with more talent than the yellow ring could possibly use consistently on a weekly two-hour show. As WWE continues to drive a nail in the coffin of the indies, it's worth discussing not just what that strategy has done to pro wrestling as a whole, but whether it's truly paid off for WWE. After all, WWE has had a who's who of former top independent stars on their main roster, and hardly any of them have transcended the business the way you would expect. WWE's incredibly disappointing TV viewership, especially for Raw, 1.18 million, is just the latest proof that no matter how much talent WWE has under contract, its real issues with truly growing its audience ultimately stem from a creative problem, not a talent one. Now at a time when NXT is already chock full of talent, while SmackDown and Raw have former stars who are underutilized and used correctly, WWE is continuing to stuff as many stars onto its roster as it possibly can. They're packed in like a can of sardines, and though WWE isn't signing every major indie star who's available, its vice grip on the world of pro wrestling continues even in the presence of AEW, Impact, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and other star-studded promotions across the world. Signing more and more talent isn't going to guarantee WWE future success. It will, however, make it harder for other non-WWE promotions to keep pace, which may ultimately be the goal. So even though it's wise for WWE to sign potential game changers in the hopes that they become top attractions for the company in the future, history suggests that won't happen, and that this latest string of signings will pad its roster and make NXT even more crowded, but do little else beyond that in the long run. I do not disagree with anything this man has just said. Everything he's just said in this article was on point. This is not a talent issue. It's always and has been a creative issue every fucking time. But the more and more talent you bring in from the indies into an NXT roster that's already crowded with top names like Adam Cole, Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, Timothy Thatcher. I was about to say Damian Priest, but he's on Raw now. Dexter Lumis, Karrion Kross, Santos Escobar. All this talent. And don't get me wrong, the signing of Taya Valkyrie, that's a big deal. That brings her over to the NXT Women's Division. I think it's a smart move. A guy like Harlem Bravado, from pro wrestling experience down in the Carolinas, mostly based in North Carolina. Big deal coming into the scene now. Blake Christian, don't know much about him, but hey, welcome to the NXT squadron. Christian Casanova. Eli Drake, now known as LA Knight. I can only imagine who else they brought in. But you're overloading NXT's roster. And now Triple H and his crew have to figure out how they're going to utilize them for the future. Taya Valkyrie, I don't think will be much that hard, if we're being truthfully honest. She'll be right in mid-tier immediately. She's not even a low-tier talent. She's mid-tier off-rip. Just insert her right into the mid-card and get that shit popping. Proper feuds. They got more than enough heel talent to get that going. Very nice. LA Knight. He's a definite mid-carder, easy off-rip. He'll be gunning for NXT North American Championships early. 2022, give him some time. Give him a year. 2022, I'll probably say. Tried and true method, it always works, promise you. First 2 years, they got a little something going, and by the end of year two, they start getting into their first big deal in terms of like a feud or a title or something along those lines. Trust me. Seen it more often than you think. The method works and it holds true easily. But this is a big deal. Yes, for the signings, fantastic. Problem is, how are you going to utilize them? How? When you already have the talent that you have. And it's not to say it's a bad thing, but when you have some of the talent may not be used for quite some time. Especially the new talent, they're going to have to go through PC, learn the WWE style, all that. But I'm sure in due time, they will get their thing going. And it's what makes me wish we could go back to just the tape model. But unfortunately, we have no live tour right now. It's because we're in a fucking koof pandemic. I'm concerned about the future of NXT because with all this talent you're bringing in, over 20, and you're hurting the indies as well. You're hurting the indies bad. You're having the talent just so you have the talent. You may not use them, but you have the talent just so no one else can have them. And they're not, and with Raw and SmackDown, you have, like Blake said in the article, NXT is already chock full of talent, while Raw and SmackDown have far more stars who are underutilized than used correctly. All this really is trying to have AEW, New Japan, Impact, and all their promotions start playing catch up. That's what they're doing. It's a domino effect. We sign 20 some odd talents. You got to start looking for talent and finding talent that, maybe we didn't want or on the hunt for and we're trying to get, but now you got to either step up or step off. I mean, it's smart. It's smart to get, the top talent always, you got to build for your future. But they're not even building their own future on the main roster. And like they said, they had huge cuts back in the spring of last year. And you're still signing talent. I mean, I get the financial impact is minimal. But when you're not doing a jack shit with a majority of your talent on the main roster, we got problems. We got absolute problems. They got to get it together. I mean, I'm glad they're signed because I'm curious to see what they're going to do with them in NXT. But from the other side of the other standpoint, this may come back to bite them in the ass. It really might. And you're going to have, and I guarantee you, give it some time, WWE is going to be dealing with a lot more issues. Because if you're not really bringing in your talent, if you're really not bringing in the talent that you brought in and are able to build them, I mean, they're going to be built on NXT, that's not going to be an issue. But let's say they go up to main roster and then they do nothing with them. Then you just literally wasted everyone's time. There's yours and NXT's. I mean, like I said, I'm glad they're in, but this goes far beyond just being able to sign talent just to say we got them and you don't. So what you gonna do about it? It's gonna really hurt because I don't think this will go as good as they think it's going to. When your main roster's garbage. For the most part, NXT is hot, but, they're still bringing in talent to teach them the WWE style and then still have an overcrowded scene and you're trying to fit everyone in that you can. Not everyone's going to be used in 2 hours. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens, but hopefully, they figure everything out because if not, it's going to be a long 2021 for the WWE. So when we come back for the final segment of today's episode 297 of the Wild Pea Podcast, I am, of course, this is going to be the portion of the program where it's a lot of NJPW, AEW, and Impact stuff. Of course, I got details on the NJPW Impact Wrestling Partnership. Tony Khan commenting on the relationship with NJPW and says the Forbidden Door is open for WWE. And like I said in the beginning of today's episode, to round out today's episode, a top star is going to be involved in New Japan's partnerships with AEW and Impact Wrestling, who could it be? Who could it be? Just make sure you don't let the coin drop. You'll find out who that is on the other side of episode 297 of the YLP podcast. We'll be right back, y'all.
T-shirts and V-necks and sweatshirts and stickers, hoodies and tote bags and socks, blankets and pillows and onesies for babies, face masks, fanny packs, mugs. From YLP, Willie T, and King Ricky Rose, plus Kate Murphy, the HBIC, Mr. Fretz and Nate. And don't forget our delightful friend, the one and only Mance, cause we are war with the Teespring store, please give our merch a chance.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the final segment of today's episode of News of a Weekend for episode 297 of the YLP podcast. Of course, I want to thank you so much for checking out today's episode. Make sure you, of course, check out the Articles of War over on writteninwar.wordpress.com. I'm actually going to do it right now in real time. Well, not technically in real time, but you get the point. Get over there right now. And you can check out all the articles from our featured writers of the squadron. And I'm going to shout them out real quick. The Pen Fatale, Kitty Frost, Sylvia Knox, and Dirk Justice, bringing you a different side of the WrestleLetics Radio family. Of course, the newest match of the week, King of the Night, from Kings of the Rings is up. The Tip of the Crown, Takeover Vengeance Edition is now up. And of course, if you haven't checked out, excuse me. Freeze Your Heart, Chapter 7, Part 3 is also up. Those are the newest articles right now. And of course, like I said, we have Match of the Week, King of the Night, all of the fan fiction and all the articles from the squad. I always want to shout them out every chance I get. Make sure you get your booty over to writteninwar.wordpress.com. Check out all that we have over there and enjoy the written side of WrestleMatic Radio. Let us get into our last three articles of the week, shall we? And I want to start off with the details of the NJPW Impact Wrestling Partnership. This is WrestlingInc.com from Jason Umprasuth. Juice Robinson and David Finley of FinJuice were announced to appear in Impact Wrestling this past Tuesday at the end of Impact Wrestling's No Surrender show. This will be the first time that either man has worked for the company. PW Insider has reported, the surprise announcement is not a byproduct of NJPW and AEW's collaboration that has seen Kenta appear on AEW Dynamite. The agreement to have FinJuice on Impact was reportedly made before AEW and NJPW's agreement. These discussions have been in the works since the summer of 2020, around the time that the Good Brothers signed with Impact. It was reported at the time Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows signed their deals that their contracts would allow them to wrestle for New Japan. The Good Brothers signing with Impact and NJPW's desire to use them is seen as a way to mend the company's relationship. The reports also stated that FinJuice were scheduled to appear on the last set of Impact tapings in Nashville. However, a scheduling conflict pushed back their debuts to this current set of tapings. PW Insider was told by their sources that this is part of many, many, many months to repair the relationship between the two companies. Scott DeMore and Don Callis have made attempts in the past to try to repair that relationship. Chris Bay being appearing on NJPW Strong as part of the Super J Cup is seen as one step towards mending Impact and New Japan's relationship. FinJuice's appearance on Impact is another step towards a stronger relationship between the two companies. The reason I wanted to talk about this article was because we now know of New Japan's relationship with AEW, and now that relationship that they have now with Impact, with allowing FinJuice to go over to the Impact Zone. Now, I didn't even know there were like issues between the two companies. I thought everything was in the up and up, and you know, we were straight. But apparently, there was a bit of dissension between the two sides, of which I do not know of, nor have I checked or anything like that. So, forgive me for not giving me the information that you need as to why. If you do happen to know as to why, like I said, hit me up in an email or a voice message. You know, let us know. We are a learning podcast. We here like to learn. You know, the more we know, more it goes in our brain. It's a beautiful thing across the board. But I do like the fact that everything has been talked about since the summer of last year. And it was a way, and this was a solid way to be seen as a way to mend the company's relationship, as I said in the article. I love it. I love the fact that these two companies are really trying to mend the relationship with each other and really start a solid working agreement with each other, along with AEW and NWA. Because this quartet could really do some big things for the wrestling industry. I still see it as a solid way to be able to do that. Give us matches we've never seen before. You know, wrestlers in different companies. All of that, I can't wait to see it. I cannot wait to see what really happens once they get Finn Juice in there against possibly the Good Brothers for the tag team titles. Against a team like, you know, Triple XL. Or TJP, and I forget his name. Jesus Christ, it slipped my mind with this one. It really slipped my mind, and I kind of feel bad about that. But, you know, we've seen Private Party already in Impact, challenge for the titles. You know, now we've got Finn Juice from NJPW. Who's to say that, you know, sooner or later the Good Brothers make it over to back to NJPW as part of the BC Elite angle? And they don't, you know, if they're able to, you know, lift the COVID restrictions, who's to say we won't see the Good Brothers back in New Japan sometime soon? Hopefully against G.O.D. Because that would be absolute fantastic action that your boy would like to see. That is a dream match of mine. G.O.D. versus the Good Brothers? What if Kenny Omega came back to NJPW with the AEW World Championship? A Triple A Mega Championship. And he's still soon to compete. And I'm sure he's going to be gunning for Rich Obi Swan's Impact World title. So I do love the fact that this is a solid way to begin mending the relationship they once had and really getting something going, because I'm telling you, if Scott D'Amore and Don Callis are able to, you know, get things going with Obari-san over in New Japan and really show that they want to make this work between the two companies, this could be a really big deal, and it really could help out Impact in a multitude of ways, with rosters and with talent, you know, that you normally don't see on Impact programming. That, in and of itself, is a win for both sides. You can't go wrong with this. I would love to see a lot of talent from New Japan go over to Impact. I want to see more AEW talent go over to Impact and vice versa. Time will tell what will go down, because we still have COVID restrictions and everything like that. But I'm telling you, once they lift it, and I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later, you are going to see the best of all these four companies to come together. You are going to see wrestling we are not prepared to see. I'm telling you, who's to say we won't see Will Ospreay possibly in AEW or an Impact? Excuse me? Will Ospreay gunning for the NXT Division Championship? That would be absolutely insane. You know, I really would love to see, you know, what comes out of this. Hopefully something very big and positive, because I think this would just be a huge game for all sides involved if they're able to actually pull this off. As we continue on with NJPW relationships and whatnot, we head over to Fightful.com. Tony Khan's comments on relationship with NJPW, and he says the forbidden door is open for WWE. This is from Jeremy Lambert. Wrestling companies have united in recent months as AEW, NJPW, and Impact Wrestling have all begun to work together. NJPW working with AEW and Impact Wrestling seemed out of the question a year ago, as talk of the forbidden door being closed stole headlines when Chris Jericho went to New Japan to wrestle Hiroshi Tanahashi. While AEW stars would head over to Japan for major NJPW events, NJPW stars would not come to AEW until Kenta kicked in the door with his appearance on AEW Dynamite. Impact Wrestling, who established a working relationship with AEW thanks to Don Callis, has also rebuilt a bridge with NJPW as well. Appearing on Wrestle Fetish, AEW President Tony Khan discussed major companies working together, saying, quote, "Hopefully you can create a synergy where together the two companies are stronger than they were as two individuals. I think that's happening with the relationships we're building. We're starting to see things that are helping both sides and creating a buzz that is bigger than just one company. The biggest thing in relationships with me is to treat people really well and be honest with people. I don't bat a thousand, but I think I try to treat people well, and that's why people like to work for AEW. I think people have had a good experience for the most part. I try to be honest with people about what I'm looking for, and I do think that sets us apart from some other wrestling companies. In dealing with other wrestling companies, I try to treat them the same way, whether it's Scott and Don or the folks from New Japan. I try to treat them with a lot of respect off camera and on camera. I don't necessarily treat everyone with respect. I don't want to be a character like that on our show. For the relationship off camera, it's very important, but you have to protect your own company. Sometimes we're all too protective and there's a balance. There's a fine line. You have to walk it very carefully where you protect your own company, but also do interesting things. A lot of our wrestlers have been big stars in New Japan. There are a lot of people that have been in New Japan and know it well. A lot of fans watch both companies, and that's great. I encourage that and want people to be fans of both companies," end quote. Khan has made weekly appearances on Impact under the guise of paid advertisements, where he buries Impact and promotes the upcoming episode of AEW Dynamite, and they are funny as all hell, at least to me. When asked about potentially working with WWE and NXT, Khan replied, quote, "They're more than welcome. As I've said, the forbidden door is open. Just come and knock. If they were to knock on the door, then I would certainly be willing to let them in," end quote. He stated that if NXT wanted to show up on Wednesdays to an episode of Dynamite the way DX did on an episode of WCW Nitro, he would gladly let them in. Cody made similar comments regarding a potential relationship with WWE, saying there's no reason for potential crossover in the future. Of course, if you want to check that out, you can check the hyperlink in the article. And of course, as I always say, if I use any of the articles, quotes above, please go to h/t and link back to Fightful for the transcription, because I'm not trying to get sued. Let's start off with what he said about companies coming to work together real quick. That's the biggest thing, is that you can be stronger together, but you can't be as strong separately. I think that's very important. I think that's very, very, very important. When you have NWA working with AEW, when you have Impact working with AEW, when you have New Japan working with both AEW and Impact, when you have a situation like this where the possibilities could be huge and pay off huge dividends for all companies involved, I can only imagine the giddiness they have in their systems once they understand that, this could be a huge deal for all parties involved. So, having to walk that fine line, making sure there's a balance, protecting your company, but also being able to still do the cool shit. And of course, like he said, a lot of the wrestlers that are on the roster have been in New Japan. And I do love the fact that he really is encouraging us to want to enjoy both companies, both AEW and New Japan. I don't watch Impact personally. It's just my thing. I got, other things to do besides watch Impact. That's not a diss on them. It's just, I watch enough wrestling during the week to not have that wanting to watch more. That's just me. That's just a personal choice. It is what it is. But I do like where Tony's head's at. He wants to be able to treat them the same way on camera and off camera. Establishing relationships. Showing them respect. Not giving everyone respect because they haven't earned it. But, making sure you have solid relationships. Treating the people that he brings in. Excuse me. Treating the people that he brings in with respect and treating them well, making sure they're taken care of, coming from Impact or New Japan and all that. And that really does go a long way in establishing proper relationships. And that can really, pay off in years to come. As far as WWE goes, they ain't coming. Tony Khan can say all he wants, the door's open, just not, we're here, we're chilling. We're hanging out, you know. As much as I would love to see a WWE NXT AEW crossover, it ain't gonna happen. It's definitely not gonna happen. Ever since, you know, Vince McMahon moved NXT to Wednesdays live on USA Network. Yeah, there was friendly is going out the window. Friendly gone. Friendly been gone. I'm sure WWE wants nothing to do with AEW right now. If ever. Because they're petty. You know, reasons. But what I think it's going to happen, who knows? Anything's possible. But the way I see it, I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't. You know, as much as we want to see it, and that would like help, you know, end that thing, that deal with AEW and WWE, it'll never happen. It's unfortunate. It'll never happen, though. Vince McMahon doesn't, you know, wants to be the only player in town, and he doesn't want to see AEW taking the ratings. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sure the door is open and they can come in whenever they like. But if I were Tony Khan, I would be more focused on getting relationships building up with AEW, Impact. Well, of course, AEW, Impact, New Japan, and NWA. I'd rather be working on that. And can we please get Nick Aldis some run in AEW? In Impact, in New Japan. Can we get him over to New Japan real quick? As soon as possible. Start defending that NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Because he looks good with it. Wears it well. But it's been quite some time since Mans defended that championship. And I'm sure Billy Corgan would want to have that exposure back somewhere on television. You know, it's just unfortunate for Billy Corgan because of the fact that, you know, NWA Power was a thing. And that didn't really help the cause. That kind of folded. NWA Shockwave started, and that kind of hasn't really done well. And Corgan's caught between a rock and a hard place. So, the one thing I would love to see is Nick Aldis now working in an AEW, possibly working in a New Japan, going over to Impact, something along those lines. They can make this a big deal for all parties involved. And with the Forbidden Door being open, we can only imagine now what can happen in the future. But as far as WWE, don't expect it to happen. Cross your fingers, cross your toes, cross your eyes, you know, cross your T's. I just don't see it happening anytime soon. And to round out this week's episode of News of the Week from WrestlingNews.co, top star will be involved in NJPW's partnerships with AEW and Impact Wrestling. This is from Andrew Ravens. NJPW has started working with not just AEW, but also Impact Wrestling. On Saturday, at the end of Impact Wrestling's No Surrender event, it was announced that NJPW stars Juice Robinson and David Finlay Jr. would be appearing from this past Tuesday's Impact Wrestling episode on Access TV. The NJPW-AEW working relationship officially started earlier this month when Kenta attacked Jon Moxley. They then worked a multiple-person match on last week's episode of Dynamite as Kenta teamed up with AEW champion Kenny Omega against Moxley and Lance Archer in the main event. Dave Meltzer mentioned on today's Wrestling Observer Radio, and I believe this is from this past Sunday. Again, it's all the news during the week. Dave Meltzer mentioned on Sunday's Wrestling Observer Radio that former IWGP Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada will be part of NJPW's new partnerships with Impact Wrestling and AEW. I was about to say NJPW. The frequency of NJPW stars appearing in the United States for Impact and AEW is depending on the COVID travel restrictions and quarantine guidelines. Quote, so they are, referring to NJPW, so they are everyone's in business now. And it's all open, and Okada's coming at some point, somewhere. I don't know where, but I know he's coming. It's not going to be in NXT, and other people are coming. We may get Okada with Omega, or Omega with Ibushi. I don't know if we're getting it, I just know it makes sense. The doors are open, and that's a good thing. End quote. Motherfucking Okada is going to be a part of the new partnerships with Impact Wrestling and AEW. Okada. Okada with Omega. For those of y'all who did not see the trilogy back in 2018 between these two, that is literally one of, in my honest opinion, one of the greatest trilogies I may have ever seen. And it happened in a span of a year plus. Their classic being their second. Actually, yeah, it happened in less than a year. Which is crazy. But yeah, first one was at Wrestle Kingdom. Okada retained. They had a rematch at Dominion, 2 out of 3 falls. Went over 60 minutes. Omega becomes champion. They had their third match during the G1, which was the weakest out of all three, which I've stated multiple times. If you check back my old stuff in 2018. That is a huge possibility and a big get if they're able to pair Okada with Omega. That is, and it's been like a couple years since this feud happened. So it's a little fresh, you know, rehashing from their trilogy back a few years ago. And that is going to be huge. I mean, from what Dave Meltzer said, you know, he's coming. It's not going to be an NXT and other people are coming with him. Omega and Okada. Omega with Ibushi. I would love to see it. I would love to see Obashi. Omega and Ibushi tangle it up. I mean, Omega's kind of on a bit of a belt chase, isn't he? And Ibushi has got two of them things at the same damn time. That may be more of a stretch, though, Omega Ibushi. That might be the one thing we might see in New Japan, as opposed to AEW. But if we got it in AEW, that would absolutely be insanity. Twitter would blow the fuck up. Super J-Cast will be just doing, just they will be going insane. And make sure you check out Super J-Cast on all their platforms. They are a really good podcast. If you're wanting to get into New Japan wrestling and Japanese wrestling across the board. Shameless plug, just shout out to the Super J Cast. But that would be insane. If you get Okada over there, you pair him with an Omega, immediately ratings go up. Because most of us know Okada. And we know of his feud with Omega. And even if you don't, seeing Okada is going to be crazy because they're going to create intrigue. Who is this dude? This 6 foot some odd, 240-50 pound mastodon of a dude. And he's now in AEW. I need to know about this dude. It's going to create intrigue and interest. Bring Okada ass over here. Bring Ibushi with you. Bring over Tanahashi. Have him fuck with Jericho. Bring over G.O.D. Bring him. Bring all of them. Bring me Takagi. Shit. I want to see Takagi Wardlow. Tell me you wouldn't want to see Shingo Takagi versus Wardlow. I would. That would be crazy. Let the Never Openweight Championship be brought over to the States. You know who that also helps? New Japan Pro Wrestling of America. Since Kent is a regular on NJPW Strong, and they'll be having anybody having a match up with Moxley on the 26th. I'm going to go insane. Because now, like I said, the Forbidden Door is open. There's so many possibilities. Who knows who's going to come through that door? Who's going to come through that portal into AEW, into Impact? I can't wait to see what they do next. And if we do get Okada, the world is going is not going to be ready for it. It's going to be the biggest smack you upside your head moment of 2021. And would literally cement that NJPW is literally working with AEW, Impact, and the NWA. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to round out episode 297 of the YLP podcast. And when we come back, we're going to close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 4 of last week. This week, we'll be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 297 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for taking this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. As I said in the beginning of today's episode, and I'm going to tell you one more time, if you have any thoughts, comments, concerns, or questions, don't hesitate to send your boy an email. Send them to me at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice message over at anchor.fm/younglionsperspective, anchor.fm/wrestleaddictradio. Leave a comment over at ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com. If you feel so inclined to toss a couple shekels your boy away, all right? You feel me? If you want to follow me over on my social media, I got plenty of places you can follow me at. Let's start off with the Twitter. You can find me over there at YL Perspective. It's got a bit of YLP Perspective. I do Live 24 AEW Dynamite every Wednesday. SmackDown Live every Friday night, unless I have a prior obligation to attend to. I will let you guys know prior to that night's particular episode. I also do Live 24 every AEW Live pay-per-view, every WWE Live pay-per-view, every NXT and NXT UK TakeOver special, and of course, on the rare occasion, I am up at 3:30 in the morning, I do Live 24 New Japan Pro Wrestling as well. If you want to find me over on the Instagram side of things, you can be followed over there at Young_Lions_Perspective, updates, social Saturday post, all that good stuff over there. Hit your boy up with a DM, send me memes. I want to see memes. Also, you can find me over on Facebook, and all of my Instagram posts do go over to my Facebook page, which you can find at Young Lions Perspective, all one word, or simply search for Young Lions Perspective Podcast. Just letting y'all know, spreading the word. Follow me on all these platforms to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. Of course, if you enjoyed this episode, do not hesitate to tell a friend about the YLP podcast. Share this episode across all of your social media, of course, the Instagram, the Facebooks, the Twitters, Parler, Gab. Send it through all the messaging apps, Telegram, Voxer, WhatsApp, Signal, all of that stuff. Spread the word. Sign in your friends' DMs. Send it through a text message. Use, of course, Facebook Messenger if you must. Find any way to spread the word about the YLP podcast and Wrestle Addict Radio as a whole. You feel me? Because in these unprecedented quarantine times, I was at home quarantine, we here at Wrestle Addict Radio do our very, very best to provide you the best top-notch quality entertainment across the board with the YLP podcast, the Kings of the Rings podcast, the Friends of Mania podcast, and don't you dare forget the Delight Show with Mance Chapel. We strive to be not only the cure for the Common Wrestling Podcast, but we strive to be A1, like Wagyu, 100% top-notch, top-quality, grade A, creme de la creme, cream of the crop, undisputed, undoubtedly, then, now, and forever, the alternative for professional wrestling podcast, and that we are here to stay. Now, I know most of y'all have the Anchor app, so I'm not going to go make you go crazy, all that. I understand everybody has platforms that they use outside of Anchor to listen to their podcasting, everything, okay? But
If you just think we're just all about ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, anchor.fm/youngliansperspective, anchor.fm/wrestleaddictradio. My friend, you were sadly mistaken. You can find this podcast and the entirety of the Wrestle Addict Radio family's podcast across many different platforms, including Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Player FM, and always shout out to the Podbean gang, CastBox FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher Radio, and of course, that good old Spotify fam! Search for the Wrestle Addict Radio family of podcasts across all these different platforms, and you should have no problem finding us whatsoever. All right? I believe I've... almost forgot. Do want to fill you guys in. Teespring actually has changed their name to Spring. Yes, it is a thing now. And the YLP store is still there. The YLP collection is still up. Okay, just want to fill you guys in, do a little house cleaning real quick, and let you guys know about the new website you can type in. Make sure I got this here. Yes. So now, from here on out, spring.com is, of course, used to be known as Teespring. You can find my collection at young-lions-perspective.creator-spring.com. You can find all of my merchandise over there. All the stuff for men's, women's, and, of course, the young cubs out there, ranging from the classic YLP shirt. You can find the premium V-neck, the ladies, the flowy tank tops, the tank tops for the fellas, because, you know, don't matter what day it is, sun's out, guns out, you dig? Of course, I got t-shirts for the young cubs out there, for the kids and the toddlers, as well as accessories like, of course, coffee mugs for everybody who's trying to get their cup of joe, like I got going on right now, beach towels, wall tapestries, you can get YLP socks, I got you. YLP face mask, and with every sale, a dollar gets donated to a nonprofit to help out the hunger crisis in the United States with children. Like I said, 1 in 7 children experience some kind of hunger in this country, and that cannot be taken care of. But when you're also doing it twofold, you're, of course, still required to wear a mask in a majority of places, I'm sure, where you live. So why not, you know, represent the YLP realm like a god and get yourself a YLP mask as well? Not only are you doing that, but you're also helping for a good cause with the hunger crisis within children in the United States. All right, so just wanted to, you know, do a little housekeeping with that. But I believe I fulfilled my obligations for the weekend. To make sure I have done that, I'm going to look over to the judges to ensure I have done so. Looking at the country of Italy, as they come out with some banging-ass flatbread pizza. And I'm getting the thumbs up, so I believe we are straight for the week. So, episode 4 of last week. This week will be going down, of course, this Monday. And if you guys do follow me on Twitter, I informed you guys that I did not do any live tweeting, nor have I actually watched either AEW Dynamite or NXT this week. So I am coming in with blank slate. We'll see what both shows got, and we will find out if NXT makes it 3 in a row or if AEW is capable of getting it back tied at 2. It's an episode you don't want to miss. If you want to, hit me up with a voice message over on my Anchor, anchor.fm/youngliansperspective, or anchor.fm/WrestleAddictRadio, and let me know who you think won the week prior to me watching it. You can be an influence on Mr. YLP himself's decision to actually be able to give the victory to AEW or NXT. It's definitely an episode you do not want to miss. Other than that, y'all, I will leave you with this. To anyone who is out there dealing with the snowstorms that we have been going on, whether it be in the Northeast, whether it be New England, whether it be in the Texas, Louisiana region, please do stay safe. My heartfelt, you know, love goes out to every single one of y'all, to my cousin, my aunt, and my uncles, my cousins, actually. They have two that live in Texas now. I hope you guys are safe. I hope you and your family are safe. You have plenty of food, plenty of water, all your medications needed. You have wood for fire if you got one. You're keeping as warm as possible. I know winter sucks. Usually you guys would be enjoying great temperatures, but unfortunately, Mother Nature's got bit of a fucking, you know, extra bullshit hitching her giddy up, and it ain't the good kind. So we don't know what's going on, but hopefully it all subsides. Excuse me. And, you know, you're able to stay as warm as possible. Hope if you had to get out, I hopefully do hope that you got out prior to the storm. But if you stay, unfortunately, please do hunker down. Please do stay warm. Make sure you have food. Make sure you have water. Make sure you're, you know, you got all the things. If you have kids, making sure, you know, you keep them occupied as much as you possibly can, because, you know, there's a lot of rolling blackouts going on in Texas and Louisiana. So, I mean, got to make sure the kids stay occupied as much as possible. And this might be their first experience with snow and ice. So, hey, this could be an experience for everybody. I hope you guys were prepared as much as possible, just in case this did go down. And if you were, God bless you. If you weren't, I hope you are staying as safe as possible and trying to maintain, you know, some sort of sanity, because I know it's a lot going on, and hopefully, you know, all this gets taken care of in due time. But I'm going to head out for the weekend. And as I always say, enjoy yourself. If you're in a non-snowy area, please do, you know, take some time to be outside today, tomorrow, Sunday, you know, going into the work week. Enjoy your weekend. Stay productive. Stay hungry. Make some gains in your life. You dig? All right. Other than that, guys, that's going to be it for me. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. And I'll see you guys right back here this Monday for episode 4 of Last Week This Week. See you!
This has been a WrestleAttic Radio branded podcast.